The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. You know what time it is. It's time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all time. I'm your host, Dave Little John, and joining me today in studio,
Matt Dixon.
Because you're pretty much always, I don't know why I say in studio, by the way. Of course you're in studio. That's like joining me in redundancy. I mean, like, of course, you don't have to say you're in studio. I'm in the studio. He's in the studio, too, if he's joining me.
How many of these shows we've done now?
Enough. Yeah. It's a great answer, right? Like, how many of them? Like, enough that we know better.
How many 52 weeks in a year? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably been a pile of them. You think you've done over 100? Oh, well, I'm sure you have.
50 times 5
years now? Yeah, I bet
you. Show number, like, 200 and something. Mid-200s. It's wild.
Yeah.
A lot of shows.
It's a lot of shows. Well, and I think I've been doing this for, like, 11 or 12 years now.
Yeah.
How did that sneak up?
Seasoned veteran.
Well, and season will be the word of the day. We're going to be talking about seasons. Today, I feel like saying, well, what's the name of the show? Shift Happens.
Mm.
See, bad puns and things you're not supposed to say. no, we really talked about, it's very interesting. I don't know about you, Matthew, but my household is gearing back up for school.
Yeah.
It's starting. I think you got littles.
Yeah, I'm a ways out still. So
this is going to become more of it. Although you really do have fingerprints throughout this as one, you've been a student, but as a recovering teacher.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Right. What do you remember about, you know, the end of August?
Yeah. 8 years of horror, you know.
No. Oh, come on.
No, it wasn't that bad. The kids were largely pretty awesome. But no, for me, you know, teaching, it was this like, oh no, like we got to start this engine up again and get back into the season of learning new names and new faces and trying to spool everything back up again. And I feel like fall, though, as a season, is a time where we tend to spool a lot of things up. For me, like, I'm spooling up the TV for watching some NFL football.
Yes.
I'm spooling up my reels for fall Chinook season. The coho are going to be in the river. The Chinook are going to be in the river. So a lot of fishing in the fall.
Okay.
And I don't know. Fall is when I'm just rearing and ready to go. My favorite season of the year by far, hands down.
Oh, so I'm definitely a spring summer guy. But anybody live streaming will see it today. It's the last Tuesday of Aloha August.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not been initiated into this, allow me to invite you into the club. Aloha August is wear Hawaiian Aloha style shirts all month long.
Hey, I kind of got the note today, didn't I?
You kind of did.
Wow. I think this is the first.
Yeah, it's paisley-ish, but you know, like, we'll roll with it. It's
There's
got some flowers,
flowers
in there.
On
There's
there,
plumeria
yeah.
theme to it.
Yep.
So yes, and so the of course, if you know the history of Little John Financial and you know a little bit about my family, I've shared this story before. This Aloha August was a little bit of a head nod to something that I'm hoping to bring back. COVID kind of threw some stuff out of whack for our firm, as it did many, as life kind of changed. I mean, it's funny. BC used to mean like we would date like BC and AD.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have BC, AD, and BC, and then AC, right? So you have before and after Christ, you have, or whatever they're going to call it these days, because nobody wants to say that. I'll say it, like before Christ and after death kind of thing. But and then you have before COVID and after COVID. Like, our two different worlds, right?
Yeah.
So my wife's family is Hawaiian. And so, like, on her mom's side, the island family.
Yeah.
And I get to marry into this culture. It's just it really kind of epitomizes the summer vibe to me.
Mm.
And so Aloha August, well, we used to do an annual luau, and then COVID shut those down for a while.
Did you ever get to a point where you were annually going to Hawaii?
No.
Oh.
No. That...
I feel like you're going to need to embrace the Aloha vibe a little bit stronger and start upping your Hawaii travels.
It's closer. So our family likes to travel a lot of to different places, too. We still try to go back.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's amazing. Heather's grandmother is 100 years old right now.
That's awesome. Hawaii.
So we still try to invent excuses to go back. There's still family there to go visit. So we do visit. It's interesting to go to Hawaii as family and not just as tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun vibe too. But anyway, so it's this Aloha August is ending. There's a transition that
happens. The vacations
are
kind of drying up and the weather's starting to turn.
Yeah. Well, it's really wild. I at first wondered, so Matt and I are pre-gaming a little today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, preparation may not be what you think it is. It's more like, well, what are concepts and ideas that we should sort of work our way through? It's not like, what's the script?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you talk a little bit about this because I thought it was kind of...
My theory.
Kind of fun. Yeah, I gotta share the theory of...
Yeah, I think that, you know, because the underlying crux of the show is we're more productive in the fall, right? And I was pondering, well, why
is
that?
Well, yeah, there's an actual study for this too, but we'll get to that. Explain the theory, Matt.
My theory is we're more productive in the fall because if you go back long enough to like our ancestral roots, what were we doing way back in the day? Well, we were hunting. We were gathering in the fall. That's typically the season you're out doing that. You know, you're taking your deer hides and tanning them. You're gathering your berries and dehydrating them or doing it. You know, you're smoking your fish. You're working really, really hard to make sure that you can make it through that long, cold winter. And so I'm like, well, we're like,
well, there was more to it than that, too. He's hiding.
We're tanning hides to keep the women warm.
That was like, his thing. He's like, you know, you got to take care of your girl. And I'm like, okay, you're applying your total modern day framework as if you were standing back then.
If you agree with this theory, I want you to text Little John Financials line right now and be like, yes, Matt, you're onto something here. It's 541-375-0898.
This will be fun. I say we abuse the text.
Let's abuse
text
it just
line
this once.
This session.
Yeah.
And so you got to reference the show, right? This is the Shift Happens show. So August 25 show. That makes it means that we're not going to run this one again and again. Well, who knows if it's ever a best of show. It's still going to be funny. So your theory that it links back to literally the like food rhythms or harvest rhythms.
Yeah, I think it's still ingrained in us a little bit. I mean, eventually it probably won't be because we'll all just be plugged into some AI machine and we're in our own virtual reality and just...
We'll be all Ready Player One at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there are fingerprints of this that are connected for real.
Okay.
If you look at the school calendar and the way it operates, a lot of it was historically built around holiday season and the harvest.
Okay.
Right? So spring break would have been planting season, right?
Yeah.
Summer break is the farming and harvesting and working season. And then as the fields get put down, you go back to school for a while. Thanksgiving's a national holiday. Christmas is a general national holiday. And then you've got your reboot of the year on an annual, like just calendar basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back into that same recurring theme. And so when farming used to be a much more substantial part of our economy, right? Not just historically, but you know, we hadn't modernized and automated as much to farming. So there was a lot more people doing the production of food.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that we have these schedule rhythms that are connected to that throughout our history.
Yeah. Where do you kind of derive your energy from in the fall?
Well, it's a bit of a different question, isn't it? I don't know that it's energy as much as the way our culture moves the schedule.
Okay.
I move with it, right? I really enjoy summer. The long days for me are, I tend to feel better.
Okay.
So I'm kind of solar powered in that sense. As the days get shorter, feel like my energy level declines as the days shorten. But there is a transition during fall when, as the days start to shorten, the urgency starts to rise to get stuff done. It's as if time is being compressed and I have to hustle.
Well, and then you got like IRS deadlines looming in the background too, right? There, and you look at our industry and it's like a lot of stuff starts to get really important really quick.
Yeah. So here's what's interesting. We're going to talk about what does this mean for everybody as investors and what can we do as investors and also just as decent human beings to try to take, and rather than we're not talking about excuses or complaints or anything else, but say, how can we take the seasonality, become aware of it, and then harness this to produce some better outcomes in our world?
I know right? How you do it.
Me too. We take a break, and then we come back, and then we talk about it.
You're not going to like my answer.
Well, then we'll hear it when we come back, and okay. We'll see if we agree or not. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth, News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
What if it turns out I'm the knuckle?
It's possible.
Hey, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
Okay, if you're just joining us, you can grab the podcast to get caught up. That'll be available tomorrow. You haven't missed a ton, but we did set the table for a lot of today's discussion, which is that seasonality moves things in the marketplace and in our lives. And so we're talking about how do we harness some of that seasonality and maybe direct it such that it will help us out. Here's what's fascinating, Matthew. Mm-hmm. I was reading about a study that was done, and it was huge. I mean, you're talking about a four-year study, millions of samples looking at average productivity. And you know what the most productive month of the year is?
Which one?
October.
Ah, that's a good month.
Fascinating. You know what the least productive month is?
Probably one where you're getting all that seasonal depression and you're just like, I just want some sunshine. Where did it go?
Yep, January is the tough
one. Yeah.
So the 3 months that are most productive happen in order. So you have September and October and November, and October's peak.
Man, this is really aligning with everything that, you know, I was going to say it, you know, at the
go
break.
Ahead. Go ahead.
You know, you asked me, like, where do you kind of get some of this energy from? And I was going to say pumpkin pie, right? It's fall time. We're smashing pumpkin pie one after another. You got that little sugar rush. Pumpkin just gives you, you know, unnatural strength. And then you're out there, the bucks are rutting in October. And you're like, all right, it's go time.
So Matthew he's more of an outdoorsman than me, and he's more of a sports guy than me. In fact, Matt, you're probably just more of a man's man than I am in a lot of those ways.
I like certain things, and it's a small list, right? Like, but we got to stick to those.
But so, like, Matt's the guy that goes fishing, catches the fish,
mm-hmm.
and then throws them back.
Yep.
Like, doesn't like to eat fish, but likes to catch them.
Yeah. Redistribute the fish. Find the people that like them. Let them eat them.
It's just fascinating.
It's Ron Swanson's theory. Fishing is for sport only, not for food.
Well,
that's what bacon and beef is for.
Yeah. When Ron Swanson says something, it's generally accurate. So
exactly.
I do have to roll with that.
Yeah.
All right.
No veggie burgers over here, Dave. Only 80-20.
So, okay. Let's try to help people look at this now. We're not quite to the fourth quarter.
No.
Okay, fourth quarter is technically October, November, December. But I kind of feel like the September, October, November is the real Q4. Because
I think
when you hit
fair.
The holidays, everybody starts checking out as they get closer and closer to New Year's and the Christmas holiday
season.
That's a
good point. Are you really going to get much done financially when November hits and we've got Thanksgiving and then December comes around and all you're focused on is Christmas shopping and Christmas activities? No. You're getting the financial stuff done in October.
Well, if you get it done.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Right?
How many phone calls have you got over the course of your life where it's like, hey, it's like December 30th and I really needed to do this thing? And you're like, whoa.
we have tried to be available, but I've also tried to historically warn our clients well in advance that we try to take family vacations the same time you do around those holidays. And so it's hard to say, hey, can you do something? It's, 4:30 on a Friday, and it's the last minute. So a lot of organizations end up saying, well, the deadline's before that.
Yeah.
Like, we just won't process it after this. We can't assure processing.
Think of how busy we get.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we get slammed that time of year because everyone's trying to get a year-end contribution in, or they're trying to do some sort of conversion. And that's a busy, busy season for us.
Yes. So there's a couple of key dates that people should keep in mind. If you're an employer out there, meaning you have employees and you have a retirement plan for your employees, especially if you have a 401k plan, then you have some deadlines for when you can make changes that will be effective at the start of the year.
That deadline is?
Well, it's technically, I believe, October 31st or October 30th. So here's the way it works out. You need to give 60 days of notice on most plans.
Yeah.
And so after that point, it's impossible to give notice to the participants with 60 days. But there's some other tax notices that matter in terms of filing and declaring things, because you have some year-end deadlines for extensions, for example, like the October 15 deadline for tax extension, which means that you've got an August 15 deadline for a lot of elements if you're trying to get things declared before that. So anyway, these are examples of dates that start showing up in Q4.
So it makes for a pretty good case, then, I think you could say, to say, hey, let's go ahead and start doing this stuff now, right? A lot of it.
Yes.
If you can, and or at least start planning for it now, so that the next couple months you can actually get to it and it doesn't slip through the cracks.
Right. So let's talk about a handful of, you mentioned this earlier, just a couple of things that fall under the category of tax planning between now and year end.
Yeah. Okay.
First, why do we care about year end?
Well, I think you mentioned it, after December 31st, some of it you can't do past that date.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a handful of things that you are allowed to do because the deadline is tax filing date rather than calendar year date.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that are calendar based.
Like, I think I talk about Roth conversions already? Did I mention that?
No.
Oh, well, that's one that you might have to be thinking about if you're in a landscape where, it makes sense for you to maybe convert some money into a Roth.
Yes, the calendar year that the conversion takes place is the calendar year that the taxes get realized.
Yeah. And
so that's something to be aware of.
Yeah. You're looking at things like, how is my income now versus what do I expect my income to be in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some ways that you can kind of estimate where you're going to be and what numbers make sense.
Yes. The other is, now it's, you have time on this one, but it is okay to start looking at where things are going to land tax-wise, meaning I'm going to project out where I think things may go. But looking at the disposition of your investments, whether or not you'd like to make changes, and the tax implication of those changes.
Right.
You know, I own something, but I don't want to own it anymore, or I want to own less of it, or I want to own more of it. And I need to recalibrate what I'm doing. Well, does a change create a taxable event? And if so, might I be able to do other offsetting changes that would reduce my tax exposure? We call this gain or loss harvesting in many cases.
Yeah.
So those are things that, now it's a little early for this. I suggest that as you get closer to the end of the year, that's when you may want to look at something like this. Your mileage may vary. So I'm not giving specific advice to not do it, but I'm suggesting Q4 is a good time to start looking at that. This is particularly relevant for people that have highly appreciated positions. It may also be particularly relevant if you have
like a really big loss.
A big loss that you may want to bank on purpose. Okay, and that's, we're not going to go deep into the weeds of what that means on this show, but you know, you can Google it, or if this is why we offer free appointments, because you may have personal circumstance. So you know, you want to have a free consult, an initial consult with us, and come speak about something like that. You can reach out to us.
Fair enough. I like that.
Yeah. So anyway, tax planning is the other thing about tax planning. Sometimes it's a multi-year event. Let me tell you a situation that some people really miss.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Have you inherited a retirement plan?
Okay. That's right? A big one.
If you recently inherited a retirement plan, you have a 10-year clock typically with which you have to get those monies transferred out of that retirement plan and into your direct name.
Yeah.
And there, if it is a non-Roth account, there can be taxes associated with that. So strategically, the question is, what's the best way to get that money out of there without incurring more taxes than necessary?
Mm-hmm.
And there can be some tax planning around how to get that out of your, how to get money out of an inherited account at a lower tax rate. Potentially, right? Again, each case is going to be circumstantial. It's not always possible, but maybe it is, or maybe there are some other tax things that you can do that would create offsets.
Yeah.
In which case you could neutralize some of the tax exposure.
A lot of people kind of glance over taxes. They just look at returns, right? And they're like, well, did I make money this year?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, well, I'm just going to casually or willy-nilly kind of buy and sell this, that, and the other. And then come tax time, they're like, why do I owe so much in taxes? And it's like, well, you didn't stop to put on the hat and think about, well, what is the buying and selling really doing in your account?
Yeah. The thing that I frequently see also is, folks will pay attention to the details that they know to look at,
mm-hmm.
but they don't pay attention to the details they don't understand. It may not be intentional either. It's a little bit like, you know, if you play all offense and no defense,
yeah,
in a sporting event, right? Mm-hmm. You go, well, the part of the game that you understand is like, we need more points. Well, you certainly need more points than the other team.
But defense.
But the other team keeps scoring points. It's, yeah, like, well, have you thought about playing defense? It's like, well, no, we just need more points. Like, okay, you're not looking at the whole equation.
The whole game, yeah.
And I see this a lot. This is probably, now, just so you know, I'm going to totally like disclose a conflict of interest in real time on this.
Okay.
We get paid for helping people invest and for financial planning. If I then turn around and tell you, hey, what's the benefit of working with somebody that you have to pay to do this? Keep in mind, we get paid for this. So I consider the source, right? How many people have you seen that come in and they talk about fees and operating expenses in an account, but they neglect to actually look at the performance?
All the time. It's very common.
It's really fascinating because, and how many people look at performance exclusively as whatever the number on the page is, but they don't look at the rest of the ecosystem and where opportunities have been, you know, where savings has occurred and efficiencies have occurred.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeve is where it's been like, okay, well, I've been looking at the performance and it's been this. And I'm like, well, you know, you've been invested for 7 months.
Right.
It's like,
Why haven't I made 30%? It's like, well, yeah, you've only had the money here for 7 months.
Yeah. That one always blows my mind.
And it's going to happen sometimes. And it's really fascinating that folks oftentimes will talk themselves into seeing what they are willing to see.
We live in a world of kind of this instant gratification, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to feel really good right now. Well, it's like, hey, hold on. We got to let this thing develop.
Well, my larger is, I'm going to use another analogy, but I'm going to use this a little bit with AI. I see how it is changing the way people make decisions. And in many respects, it's very helpful. But keep in mind that AI only knows so much. Let me give an example. If those of you that don't know, I'm at that age where I still exercise and I had an injury. And actually, I tore my bicep off this summer. Not fun, by the way.
Yeah.
Had to have a surgical repair. and have been following a therapeutic protocol for recovery. And it's going very well. I'm really grateful to say this. But I used AI to track some of this, and it gave me extraordinarily conservative guidance that was way out of alignment. It was clinically correct, except that it was absolutely not applicable because it couldn't understand things. And then I had to correct it and give it additional information. And it was like, oh, you're right. I missed that. It totally changes the dynamic of what we're dealing with.
Defaulting to the like safest possible route for liability purposes.
Well, and it joked and said it made me 20 years older and 20 years more sedentary, and then tried to offer me advice. And I was going, so that's the problem, is that if you didn't know better, you may just follow that.
Yeah, AI has a real issue where people kind of blindly just listen to it or follow it. And I'm like, ooh, like this doesn't apply in your situation.
Well, and it has a real issue with very confidently declaring something that may not be.
Yeah, how often will it cave and be like, oh yeah, you were right, sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, we're long on the segment. We gotta
Are
take
we?
A break.
Already?
Absolutely. So we're gonna jump off and then we'll be right back. We've got to talk. So we talked about tax planning. Let me give you a hint. It has to do with New Year's resolutions. Crazy, right? Stick around.
Right.
We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Matt?
Yes.
We have an interesting opportunity here. It's the concept of a New Year's resolution.
Yes.
So, do you set New Year's resolutions?
I do.
Do you write them down?
I do.
Do you track whether or not they occur?
Yeah, I look back and say, did that happen? And it's like a, yeah, kind of 70% of the way there, nope. And that's, yeah.
So how do you, like, reset resolutions all the time? So is it more like, well, this is just a task list, and when it's done, I can say it's good? Or
I definitely,
how do you go about it?
It's just like a rolling list, right? So it never is this, set it on January 1, is it completed by December 31st? It's just a... here are the things, am I doing them or am I not doing them? And occasionally, every 9 months or so, you might take a peek at it and see where you're at and what are you doing.
Hmm. Yeah, the mistake I make is not peeking at it more frequently,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I have been writing down goals now for a long time.
You know how they're supposed to be measurable? And it's like,
yeah,
not all mine are measurable. Some, because like some stuff you want to do, but there's no way to actually measure it. And so it's like, it's just a good reminder.
It's like, be taller.
Yeah.
You could measure that, you know.
Yeah, you could.
But I could say, be on time more often. You know, you can measure that too.
Mm-hmm.
Be friendly. That would be a tricky one to measure.
That would be, yeah, I do. I have goals like that that are like, really? That's a goal. Yeah. There's no way to quantitatively measure it, and it's up to your interpretation, but it had to be on the list, you know?
Fair.
Yeah.
It still brings it to your awareness. So I think there's something to it.
Yeah.
Why am I asking Matt about goals?
Well, I don't know, because it's not January.
Well, no, it's not. But I think, one, New Year's resolutions, I think I was reading that the
can
the
we just
first
take
Friday,
New Year's out of that and just put resolutions?
Well, resolutions, but in particular New Year's resolutions, it's like the second Friday of the year is called like Failure Friday or something, where like you've already abandoned your New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
It's almost become sort of nonsense, right? Like nobody takes it seriously. I mean, they talk about it, but nobody does anything. I think that this is a great time. So like September 1, great time to start resolutions.
Mm.
You know why? Again, what do we say? September,
October,
November. Because
we've got the energy right now, yeah.
Yeah, they're productive. You've come off of potentially a more restful summer period. Maybe it wasn't restful, but it's this seasonal change that signals something's different, especially if you're if you have littles at home, mm-hmm. this is an opportunity because the schedule changes, right? Their routine is going to get rewired. And you don't have to have littles at home. You know how I know their routine changes? Because the school zones become active again and they'll catch you speeding through them.
There you go.
Right?
Unless you have a radar detector.
You know that it's something is different. And so there are these subtle signals culturally around us that this is the time to adjust the schedule again and to change the routine. What better time to introduce new things into a routine during a period of disruption?
Yeah.
Especially a period of disruption that's typically productive.
That's a good point. So what can you give our listeners? Because some people, you know, they really like simple, actionable things where it's like, okay, that's a good idea. I can do that. Do you got anything that's really simple for people to kind of think about? And it doesn't have to be like just one specific thing. But
so I think your list is really a great start. If your goal was to simply write more things down on a list to accomplish them,
mm-hmm.
that in and of itself, setting the goal would help. If you write it down, it will make it better. And then if you actually start writing the things that you want to accomplish down, the funny thing is they don't have to be fancy things. You could write things that are you're almost guaranteed to do. It sounds dumb, but if you say, like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to make my bed and brush my teeth, and then I'm going to get to work on time.
For some people, just brushing their teeth would be a really good goal.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, whatever it may be, but if you're going to wake up and do those things, by crossing those off the list, mm-hmm. you write them down and then cross them off, you create your initial momentum. There's a great, I don't remember who did it. It was a military a general that gave a commencement address, and it was called Make Your Bed.
Yeah.
If you can like listen to it, it's on YouTube, it's all over the place. It's a audiobook and whatnot. It's a great speech about why you make your bed first. And it's all about accomplishing something right out of the gate because it develops momentum for the rest of the day. If it turns out your day sucks, you will have still made your bed. And when you come home, that bed is made and waiting for you. But if you make your bed and then your day goes awesome, you have started a day that will have momentum for each additional task that you can go on to.
Momentum is a big thing, and
I
think accountability is another big one, right? If there's no accountability, no one knows what you're really trying to do, or there's no check-in system of any sort, that can really dampen things too.
It really can. Accountability happens in the workplace. Like, oh, if you're supposed to be there at a certain time and you're not, it's amazing. The accountability is the paycheck doesn't show up the same,
mm-hmm.
right? There is accountability that's native to that system, but being accountable to oneself, that's a high bar.
That's a hard one too.
You're the one that can also let yourself off the hook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes exercise when you're tired hard or when you're hungry. It's what challenges is when we prioritize things in different ways.
Yeah.
Because we're really, so
yeah,
what
here's
are the
one.
Simple would be write things down. If you're more advanced than that, you can write things down that have longer time horizons. Not just here's what I'm going to accomplish today, but here's things that I would like to accomplish this week or this month
mm-hmm.
or in the next 3 months. I caution you about one thing. You can write it down, but if you aren't serious about this and you write something that's like, someday I'm going to have $1 million. Okay. That's a dream, but there's no deadline, which means there's no strategy to get there. It's just, I want this thing. That to me is a little bit like rubbing a lamp and hoping for a genie instead of breaking it down and saying, well, a really big goal just needs to be broken down into smaller steps. And then you write those smaller steps down and start doing them.
Yeah, because they're, yeah.
That's really the secret for most. I think the world is not won by the people that are the smartest automatically. And it's not won by the people that will put forth the most energy in their effort, right? Trying really hard actually isn't as important as trying really smart. Like directing the, like if you have a shovel and you dig really hard,
mm-hmm.
but you're trying to scrape through rock, you still have the wrong tool. And what if you could have used a backhoe to dig that thing? You would have been so much faster.
Yeah.
And so it's not purely about the effort. It's about being smart with the effort and breaking it down into the parts so that it actually helps to advance toward what you're shooting for. It sounds comically simple.
Right.
Right. The issue is that folks will allow life to distract them.
I think one of the biggest issues is, like, in order to get a lot of these things checked off the list, you have to kind of up your game a little bit, right? You have to work hard. You have to push yourself. And people natively gravitate towards, you know, well, what's the easiest path? Or what's the path of least resistance? And that path often never gets you to a spot where you're checking those boxes.
Well, it could be the path of least resistance, or it could be the path that is the shortest line of sight.
Yeah. You got to be okay with making yourself uncomfortable, right?
So there's a big one here. Let's do this. I have kind of some words of encouragement for people out there that are thinking that it's not working, okay? Maybe you're a parent that's got somebody that needs to hear this. Maybe it's you. Maybe your grandparent. But I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to give some words of encouragement to folks that feel like they're stuck. And we're going to talk about how to get unstuck and start making progress.
Okay, let's do it.
Stick around. We'll be back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt.
And we are home stretch of the show Shift Happens, right?
Yes.
And I remind you, podcast, you can get it at littlejohnfs.com and the Knowledge Center. You can get it on all the different places so you can get this. This last segment is one that I want to share. It's a word of encouragement for folks that are stuck. Okay. Why now? Because seasons change, and we're nearing seasonal change.
The rains are coming.
Right? And so we know the days are getting shorter. The temperatures start to change. The leaves fall off the tree. There are all these physical signals. When you're stuck, Matt, you already got at something really critical.
Okay, what's that?
A lot of folks, their time horizon gets really short and everything becomes instant gratification. And I will tell you that there's no getting unstuck when you are reactive. Everything happens to you. You're a victim of everything that happens to you. And so you don't bother trying to change your situation. You just... whatever shows up, oh, that's awful. And you just try to survive. But what we've been telling you, this idea of just writing down a little bit, like just the little pieces and starting to move the needle even at all, the tough thing is you don't always see it. It's mm-hmm. a little bit like watching a child grow. When you're the parent, you're tired a lot of the time, and you see them... that you know that you look back and go, wow, 18 years now, they're young adults. But day by day by day, they look the same. You don't see the progress. You know who sees it? The grandparents or the friends that check in, and they go weeks or months at a time without seeing them. They're like, oh my gosh, you got so much bigger. They see the change.
Mm-hmm.
Same is true in the gym. You work out and you look in the mirror and you don't see the changes day to day very much. It takes a long time before you look in the mirror and go, that person looks different than they used to look.
Right.
And so it's easy to get discouraged. What I can tell you is, even if it doesn't look like you're making progress, doing the little things intentionally, looking further down the road, especially the financial decisions, even if it feels like you're broke, you're making the smart move with your money, even though it doesn't feel like it matters in that moment.
Okay.
What happens is these tiny little moves begin to form a little bit of momentum, and then a little bit more and a little bit more. And I'm just telling you, I have seen personal examples of people that their life looked like it just, it wasn't going to work. I mean, and you look at them today and you go, oh, they're so lucky. And I have seen what it took. And it's like, nope, they literally put in all the work and they had bad stuff happen. Hard things, things that you're like, oh, well, you don't know what I've been through. Things that are hard. You have to just keep grinding. It doesn't make it fun. It doesn't make it fair. It doesn't mean somebody else might get luckier than you. But if you can play the game and look at it, there's an old expression, right? The days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah.
If you can just grind, then you can make progress. I'm not trying to be a, you know, the cat poster, just believe in yourself. It's, that's not what I mean. But you do have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You just don't quit. Here's the beauty of this. You can be depressed and still do this. You can be excited and do this. You can be tired and do this. You can be injured and still do this. Everybody has this ability to just find a little bit of perseverance. And some days it doesn't feel like progress. It feels like you're going backwards, but you're building a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens that leads you to success. And I think there's a lot of parents that are probably would love to see this for their kids. There's a few kids that would love to see this for their parents. You probably know somebody you've seen struggle and you would love for them to be able to hear this idea. The part that you don't see yet is it works. We talk about compound interest investing. But
I think it's a compounding of lots of really good decisions over and over again. Yeah. Because how many thousands of decisions do you make in a day?
And it's, right? It's the compounding of investing in yourself. Good decisions are investments in yourself, even if you don't see the instant result.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Good health decisions. Maybe you've got a tough genetic backdrop. Maybe there are accidents or other things, but the good decisions still compound. It doesn't mean there won't be bad things that happen or bad luck or any of those. That's not what it says, right? But the idea is the probabilities go up. And here's the cool thing about probabilities. You know the thing about the casino that's different than the gambler?
What?
The house plays the better odds. They don't win every time, but they win enough that over time, they come out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to do with your life is just keep taking the high probability decision and keep grinding. Even when you have backslide, right? Even mm-hmm. when things go wrong. I mean, if you're struggling with addiction and you have a relapse, get back on the wagon. Just keep grinding.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it's preachy today. I don't care.
Yeah.
We can do that. I don't say this because I'm judging. I say this because I'm trying to encourage you. I don't care where you're at. You can get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the part of all this. So you have this neat opportunity with the seasonal change. As investors, you have an opportunity to go do the thing that you've been putting off. Right? How many of you are going to get to it one day? I'm going to get my will done, or I'm going to get an estate plan put together. Or I'm going to, you know, make adjustments to my retirement plan. I'm going to go look at it, right? Oh, it's somewhere. I haven't even looked at it. I just throw the statements away. Or
I left a job 6 years ago and I never managed to.
Yeah, just how many of those things are you just not getting to it?
Mm-hmm.
Start with a list and just check something off and start.
Let's give people a timeline. How about let's get it done before Thanksgiving?
I love it.
There you go.
And here's the other thing. If you've got one item that you want accountability on, one, send us a text. This thing, I want you to reach out to me.
Will we reach back out to
we
you?
We will reach back out. Like anybody that texts us and says, I want accountability on this thing, okay? Number is 541-375-0898. Okay. This is something that I'm personally passionate about. At the end of the day, our job as investment advisors is to help our clients be profitable and efficient with their money. But what we're really trying to do is be good stewards and help people to accomplish what they want. So this is how we can help you get closer to your dream.
I like that.
Okay. And you know what? If you're already a client, you can still bring us these things. We want to be able to help with this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's a little, you know, rah-rah and more.
We do have
today.
Some software that can remind us to remind you.
We do. And so that's, but somebody, you know, it helps to know somebody's paying attention with you.
Yep.
So if you need that somebody, give us a call. Well, in this case, I'd say send us a text. We want it actually in writing, right? It's the first step. So send us a text. But that's it. So
someone has their phone out and they don't remember the phone number, David.
It's 541-375-0898. You can also send it to us via email. Send it to info@littlejohnfs.com. But Matt, the music's playing and we're out of time.
Okay.
So it's time for us to wrap up. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.